Blog Talk Radio. For Fitness Talk Show. I'm your host, Deborah Vanella, broadcasting live from Palm Beach County, Florida. It's Sunday, July 19th, 2015. Tonight's episode is an opportunity to honor the fallen, four Marines and one Navy officer at a recruiting office, 30 to 50 shots fired, Air Force, Navy, Marine, all of us in the United States are affected from these offices being attacked. A large gun was seen unloaded at a naval recruiting office, which the gates were unmanned for availability to the public. So, ladies and gentlemen, tonight we're going to discuss the act of domestic terrorism that happened. We are going to honor these men with a moment of silence. I have a Marine, an Army veteran on the line, and also my fellow radio host, Mary Budafuco. Let me bring everybody on the line. Welcome to Plan for Fitness Talk Show.
Good evening, Deborah.
Mary Budafuco is on the line. She's calling in from Long Island, New York. Thank you for being with me tonight.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. We're going to bring our guest on the line. I reached out to Mary because I wanted to honor these men that lost their lives for our freedom. And she reached out to me as well, and we're going to be honoring her father tonight. Welcome to Plan for Fitness Talk Show. Hi, Anthony.
Hi. Hello. Hey, how you doing?
Okay, everybody. Ladies and gentlemen, we have Anthony Farina on the line. I feel very blessed to have both of you with me. So thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, a man was seen firing a high-powered rifle. We lost five men. Many others were wounded. Two surviving, a Marine recruiter. He was shot in the leg, and a Chattanooga police officer shot in the ankle. At this time, we're going to do a moment of silence. It's going to be a full minute. We're going to honor these men and also Mary's father, Michael Budafuco, who is also a Marine. Let's everybody have a moment of silence. Ladies and gentlemen, we are tuning in tonight to honor the fallen and also talk about, we have such a wonderful guest. He's calling in from Indiana, and we reached out to him and asked him if he could be on our show. He's obviously a veteran and an author. He's got a wonderful book out. And Mary, I want to reach out to you because you're welcome to listen in as long as you like. How
Thank
does it feel
you.
For being on the show tonight? You inspired me to come on this network, and it is truly an honor for us to be together tonight.
Oh, thank you. I mean, thanks for having me, and I wanted to say hello to Anthony.
Hello. Good to be on here.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mary Buttafuoco is on Blog Talk Radio. She's broadcasting live Sundays at 6:30 with Victims Speak Out. I've been on her show, and you got a great message going on. How is the network going for you and your episodes?
Very good. I'm getting more and more people that are actually calling me and texting me to come on my program. And so I feel like I'm really getting through, you know. And people ought to hear other people, because no one listens to people. They cry alone. And maybe sometimes they don't even want to go to a psychologist, or just people that are going to criticize them. They just need their voices heard. So I've been there, so I know what it's like, and that's why I do what I do, and that's why you do what you do. You're a great person, and this is really nice to do, especially at that what had happened recently, and I don't think that people really understand the impact of what's going on in this world. I mean, I saw when the Twin Towers went down. I mean, that how horrific that was. And has it gotten better? Now it's domestic terrorism. So it could happen in a subway. It could happen on a bus. I mean, it's horrible. And I don't think we're prepared.
Absolutely. And I know I called Anthony yesterday, and we talked about this. And I was like, how can this happen? How can this happen? And truly, I did not know the man that killed our military men, that he was shot. And when I called Anthony yesterday, I'm like, you know, where is he? And then, you know, more news came out, and it was so disturbing. And so I want to thank you for reaching out to Anthony Farina so he could be with us on the air. And Anthony, let's start talking about what you've been doing. You just retired at 35. That's like a huge accomplishment.
some could say that, yeah. It's it has its adjustments. I've heard these rumors about when people retire, they get depressed and you got to find a routine. I think the accomplishment is actually adjusting to a normal life after losing part of your identity. I was in for 17 and a half years. So, and that's not just with the Army. I mean, I did 4 years with the Marine Corps as well. And so that, you know, this happened right after high school. So with, you know, retirement, it comes this whole new role. I'm back with the family, and, you know, I have to do things to keep my mind off of what it was like to live this structured life for so long. And that's a battle in itself. But yeah, it's pretty much, I'm very grateful for the blessings I've had in my life. So.
Well, it's a huge commitment. And I was amazed when we were doing the interview and you're like, you know, well, when I was 17, I knew what I wanted to do, you know, and that is something that is a discipline from the beginning. You risked your life for many years. You protected our country. You deserve to be recognized, and certainly just grateful for us all to be together tonight. I mean, well, you know, this shooting, you can't understand why somebody is going to come on and try to purposely kill our people. They're in our country. And, you know, I made a lot of notes, Anthony and Mary, about this this guy. He was like a naturalized citizen. What is that? Now, how is he legal to stay in our country and attend college? And it was disturbing. Go ahead, Anthony.
Mm-hmm. Oh, what I was going to say is, you know, this is a prime example, if we take it from a military perspective, of what we call doctrine. And doctrine, if you will, is the way we fight wars or we fight battles. And so doctrine is always changing as the battlefield changes. So our battlefield for the longest time has been focused overseas. And now we're seeing the doctrine changed from World War II to Korean War, to Vietnam. Every time the enemy was a little different and,
right.
and had a different advantage, you know. So now we're seeing the doctrine changing from us being over in somebody's homeland to us in our homeland, and we're fighting the enemy here on our soil. So it's, I wouldn't say it should go without surprise. It was just a matter of when the doctrine would change, and we would have to deal with that change. And that's something that's consistent with warfare throughout all of written history. And it's also, it also should be noted that throughout all of recorded written history, we've only had 25 years of peace. And that's 25 years of having humanity recorded on paper without fighting wars in some respect. So as much fighting as the world has done, we know we can see that doctrine's always going to change, and it's a matter of how it evolves and how one can adapt to that evolution is where we're going to be most effective. So now that we're here at home, you know, we're, you know, we've been alert since 9/11, and it's just going to happen in different places. It's going to happen in different ways, and we're going to have to keep evolving and confronting that battle as it erupts here on the home front.
Mm-hmm. Good explanation. And, you know, we spoke earlier, Anthony, and I know Mary as well, and I believe we're all spiritual. It doesn't matter the denomination. Anthony and I are Catholic. Mary and I have spoken many times. I pray with somebody who is Jewish. You know, listen, this situation with, you know, this Muslim in the American country, and they're coming in here, and I said, you know, this man who they did shoot dead, and I said, I prayed about it, and I said, I refuse to announce his name, but may he suffer for his actions. For all the anguish we experience in this life, we must believe there is growth from loss. And God bless our all of our military men and women. Don't you agree, Mary and Anthony?
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Yeah, I agree totally.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just tuning in, this is Deborah Vidallo's Plan for Fitness Talk Show. We're broadcasting live. I'm in Palm Beach County, Florida. I have Anthony Farina, our veteran, and Mary Buttafuoco, radio host of Victim Speak Out. And let's talk about you, Anthony, a little bit more, because you have a lot going on. You have a book out. You were just on the national Nat Geo channel. And the first thing I want to talk about is when I called you, I said, how did you get through all the turmoil and the emotional, mental, and physical stress? And you said, I started playing the piano in 2009. Could you tell the listeners how that came about?
Yeah, it was the weirdest thing. So kind of an embarrassing story, but so I'm sitting there with my girlfriend in Colorado right after I get back from the battle in 2008. So this is like early 2009. And she's a big Twilight freak. She loved the Twilight movies. And so the piano song from Claude Debussy comes on, Clair de Lune. And when I heard it, you know, I was like, this movie's really lame. But then I heard the song, and it was something like it woke up inside. It just made me come alive. And I was like, I got to find that. What is that song? Because I know I've heard it before. I've heard it a million times. And, you know, come to find out, Clair de Lune's been in over 150 movies. So it's, you know, if anybody in today's generation has probably heard it in some way, shape, or form. And now, so what I do is the very next day, I go start looking for old pianos. So I knew I was very good with woodworking whenever I was a kid, and I liked to refinish stuff, and I knew that was good therapy. So I found this old player piano on Craigslist for like $80. And I call this guy up. I'm like, hey, you know, is this legit? Can I come take a look at it? He's like, yeah. So we did the exchange. He helped me load it up. And during this time in my life, I was drinking very heavily. I mean, I'm talking day and night. And the reason was because the nightmares were still fresh in my mind, I wasn't able to sleep. I had to drink so much to where I would pass out just so I could get some sleep without dreaming. And then as I'm sitting here for 6 weeks, over the next 6 weeks, I'm sanding this piano, you know, I'm taking it apart, I'm cleaning it up, it's making my pet project. I had this passion. I still did not know how to play, but I had this passion that I felt come alive. And as that happened, the drinking slowly started, it stopped. It started to taper off. I noticed I was drinking less and less and less. And then as I started to learn to play piano, I found out, you know, I didn't do very well after a few bottles of wine, so I need to buckle down and stay sober and learn clair de lune. And it took about a year. And I worked with a very good Korean piano teacher out of Colorado Springs. And in that transformation of refinishing that piano and then learning how to play it, I was basically mastering a part of myself. It's like it kind of called out to me. So in the same respect, while this was going on, I was also writing Angels in Solder City, which can be purchased at angelsinsolder.com. And that's where the book was about the 2008 battle in Iraq. It was, part of it was featured in Chris Kyle's movie American Sniper, where the man was shot on the concrete wall in the last battle scene. I discussed that part in the book. But the writing also came alive, and so it was forcing me to be more sober as the days went on. So what I found was, as my life grew and found a new passion, it replaced this negative trauma, if you will. And so keeping with that passion and keeping a pact with myself to say, okay, I have to practice, professionals practice 4 hours a day on the piano, at least. And I could give it about an hour, hour and a half. But then I still had to write for like 2 or 3 hours every day in order to get this book out. So I had to be sober. And so taking the love for writing and piano is what eventually got me, you know, been sober for a few years now. But it also took away the nightmares. And I'm a firm believer in that, is if you can do something I love, yeah, you know, it's going to be worth it. But once you do something out of self, it's going to be destructive. So it's kind of the term there.
I love that you shared that. And when I called you yesterday, you said you celebrated 3 years of sobriety. Of course, I want to congratulate you. You're living a healthy lifestyle, and a lot of people have, you know, problems or nightmares and stuff, and maybe they're not a veteran, but there are veterans listening tonight. And, you know, I think it's a wonderful example what you've just expressed. Your writing, your playing, your spiritual. We have your 12-year-old. You have two children. You have Darby, 12, Bella, 6. And then we have your wife, Carolyn. We should be recognizing her. She's a paramedic EMT at British Columbia. We want to give a shout-out to them in case she's streaming it live over there.
Yeah, I think she is. She's at the station now. she's with the boys.
Yes,
there.
I hope she's listening right now. We'll be communicating after we go off the air. Ladies and gentlemen, I have Anthony Farina, Mary Budafuco calling in, and we're discussing a lot of your commitment, Anthony. You received a Purple Heart a couple months ago for a 2008 injury. Can you tell the listeners what happened?
Yeah, so the incident took place in April of 2008, whenever the surge was, you know, at one of its peaks, and it was in the town of Solder City. Now, for those not familiar, Solder City is a slum of Baghdad, and the militia, the Jaish al-Mahdi, was bombing the green zone, so a concrete wall had to be built. And so while we built this concrete wall around Solder City, it was a five-mile stretch, and as we placed each barrier down, we had to fight for basically every inch of the ground because the enemy was in the buildings looking down on us, shooting at us, or they would, in my instance, a man had a rocket-propelled grenade, and he came around the corner from an alleyway. In the crane, there was this big crane that would lift these barriers up and set them down in place, these huge, like 12, 15-foot concrete barriers, and they would set these in place, and the rocket impacted on the crane arm. Now, when that happened, a piece of shrapnel went into my neck, and it lodged in there. It lodged 1 millimeter from my jugular, and it knocked me back. And, you know, I had a private of mine, Blake was his name. He's a bodybuilder, thank God. So he picks me up, and he takes me in a medical vehicle. And, you know, after they got done assessing me there, I jumped back out. We continued to fight for a few more hours. But the thing was, you know, that was 2008, and then I just got the Purple Heart here a couple months ago. And for the longest time, I felt guilty about that because whenever I had friends die in combat, they would get the standard Bronze Star and Purple Heart. And I'm like, man, you know, I have this nick in my neck. And, yeah, I did some damage, but I have my life. Why do I get this award? And somebody said it to me once. They said it's for the fact that you were injured by a hostile force in combat. That's the representation of the award. And so with that, I was like, okay, then I'll carry that pride just as my brothers did who had to die to receive it. So that was the story, you know, behind getting a Purple Heart. It was a long process. It was a very long process to get it, but eventually went through, and after I got it, I felt a pride, and I also felt an attachment with the guys that we lost with it. I kind of sensed something with them. So,
what a wonderful explanation to us civilians over here, and, you know, my heart is just so happy that you can express that, and you know what, you deserve the Purple Heart, and thank God you're here. You're continuing to share a message and hope for many other people. I know Mary and I, you know, we've been in love with radio for a while, and she's done television, and it just, like, we're kind of enamored with you, okay? everything you're doing, even with the book, but when you talk, you're even more alive. So I'm hoping you're going to send me a I hope he's going to send me a book to Florida, Mary.
Yeah. Yeah. No problem. Hey, you know, I'd like to mention just somebody real quick. This isn't advertising your work or nothing, but there's this female veteran named Cleo DeLoner, right? And Cleo, she's an amazing woman because her story is much more amazing than mine. Now, she wrote a poetry book, and it's very deep. She was in Somalia. Desert is where you go find her stuff. And she has this term, nobody dies today. She's big on suicide prevention. You know, Cleo, she attempted suicide a few times. And this wasn't, we're not talking like, something small. Like, it was a major suicide attempt. And she found a way. And so it's people like Cleo that I look to. You know, you guys think, honestly, there's nothing great about me. There isn't. I'm a guy with plenty of demons. I'm just trying to work through them and stay alive long enough to see my daughter be taken care of, hopefully by a good man one day, and I'll be ready to go. But, you know, people like Cleo, that's where the inspiration is. Those people who, you know, who basically came back from the dead, they were resurrected by their own hands. And those veterans, those guys who struggle with that level of torture, that's hell because, I mean, I deal with it on some level as well. My suicidal issues don't stem from what I, you know, like this or that or whatever. It's more like I have so much regret, and the regret is so deep, like I should have done this. And then I shouldn't be alive because this didn't happen. That's the type of issues I dealt with suicide, and that came the drinking. It was a very bad toxic mixture. So what the example is there's something there with writing. Whenever I did my writing, it began to heal. And so Cleo, she does her poetry, and she found healing in poetry. So I highly encourage anyone is if you just get into a routine every day, just a few minutes every day, same time every day, make it the same time because we're creatures of habit. You have to do it the same time. You'll begin to write, and the pain will begin to go on the paper. And when it does, then you make that pain beautiful. And when you do that, that's when you encapsulate that trauma and you disintegrate it from your heart and your mind. That's how you do it. You make a habit of doing good things over and over and over every day. It's like Bruce Lee. he never did any fancy moves. All he did was the basics really fast and really good to an expert level. So that's what made him so good. He did the basics. So, too, with treating trauma, do the basics over and over and over, but make it something very good. Make it become part of yourself. And that's my message on that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing. And I think I'm probably going to have to invite you back on the show to talk about your training in the military because, you know, you're just really wonderful. Before we go off the air, I want to just honor the men that we lost. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just tuning in, this is Blog Talk Radio. We're streaming live every Sunday at 6:30. We are honoring the fallen, our Marines. Now we have a Navy officer and Gunnery Sergeant Thomas Sullivan, Staff Sergeant David Wyatt, Sergeant Carson Holmquist, Lance Corporal Scott Squire Wells, and Navy Petty Officer Randall Smith. How, you know, we're together and the energy is so beautiful and I thank God, but how sad that we have to read the names. What's your feedback, Mary and Anthony? It hurts.
It's horrible, and it reminds me like of Fort Hood, what happened in Fort Hood. I mean, it's horrible. That's all I can say.
Yeah, it's to me, it's a, I don't know how you want to call it, knowing that they're Marines themselves, you know, even though I did 4 years in the Corps and switched over to the Army, that's still always been something that's with me. And that's something they told us in boot camp, too, is like once a Marine, always a Marine, you know. And so when I heard that, some burning fire just came alive in my heart, and I'm like, okay, game's over, guys. You know, this is enough political correctness. We're sitting here listening to all this political correctness about the silent majority. Whenever it's not the silent majority, it's the few, and it's the same few types of people over and over committing the same types of atrocities. So if it doesn't take a genius to see that there's a track record there. I don't see Italians coming over here and complaining that our pizza is bad, even though the Italians didn't create pizza. But I don't see the Spanish come over here and complaining that their wine isn't the best wine because Spanish wine is very good. You know, I see radicalists of a particular group causing harm on Americans and then complaining that they don't have rights in America. No,
yeah,
you don't
right.
have rights. Yeah, I'm sorry, you don't. I'm here to say it, and I'm going to get in trouble, but no, you don't. Your rights
love
are
it.
Gone.
Love it.
When you,
I love
when you
it.
Killed the brothers.
They,
you know, that's it.
You know, at some point, you know, and I've done some political radio shows as well, and we won't get into it, but there is an issue when our men, when we're in our own country and our men are attacked.
Mm-hmm.
Again, this show is a gift. We have Anthony. You're the youngest veteran I've ever interviewed and had on the air with me. And we're down to 90 seconds. So we were going to come back on the air together, Anthony. You're going to get another invite. Mary Budafuku calling in from Long Island, New York. Thank you, my love. Thank you for Anthony.
Thank
He's a gift.
You. Thanks for having me. And
thank you.
I just want
thank
to say
you.
Something, Anthony. Can you... can you give me your what's her name again? The girl's name, and send her to me, and I'll put her on my program.
Yeah, Cleo Deloner. I'll send her over to you. No problem, Mary.
Cleo Deloner.
Yep.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Good night, Mary. We're down
night,
to 45
honey.
Seconds. Good night, sweetheart. Anthony, it was an honor to have you on Plan for Fitness Talk Show.
Thank you. I appreciate the honor. Everybody, you guys stay safe out there. God bless.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
God bless. Good night. Good night, everybody. Plan for Fitness is streaming live every Sunday at 6:30 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. If you'd like to visit the website, go to www.planforfitnessradio.com. Good night, everyone.